Well, good morning again. How's everyone doing? Sweet. Everyone get rested up. I know this Virginia weather is a little crazy. It's like 50 to 70 degrees one day, and then it's cold and rainy the other. So I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, I'm so glad to be here with you guys. If you don't know me, my name is Chad, and I've been coming here for about, how many months? About half a year now. I came during the fall semester, and when I'm in a program called the Steward House, and they send other people to random churches around Virginia, and I happened to be here, which I was so blessed to, because I've been to churches. I was born in Denver, Colorado. I moved to Florida, moved to California, and then moved to Virginia when I was six. So I've seen a lot of churches. My family's been involved in a lot of ministries, and I've never been as welcomed as like a family environment here than any other church. So that's really cool. So thank you guys for having me here. We're going to be finishing up our series about love, and we're going to be doing priorities. And if you guys didn't know, there's also another intern here whose name is Maggie, and she was supposed to be here with me today, but she's sick right now. So if you guys could keep praying for her, that would be awesome. So what I wanted to share with you guys is something that kind of spoke to me a lot. Was actually, does anyone know who Peter is in the Bible? He's one of Jesus' disciples. Okay. Oh, yeah, feel free to sit, yeah. Hey, well, if you want to stand, I think it's cool. I like being level with you guys. Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to get a chair, too. So I like to be on the same level, so yeah. So, yeah, if people are sitting, I like to sit. If people are standing, I like to stand too. So, it's like, yeah, whatever you feel comfortable. So, so I wanted to ask you guys a question. Has anyone ever had misplaced priorities where they had either in work or at school, where it's you have a bunch of things to do and you don't really know which should be top priority? Has anyone ever felt that? Okay. Do they want to share, maybe, a specific time that they can think of or that they're not afraid to share? All right. That's a lot. Wow. Yeah. I put up like 3 page papers, and so, but that's a lot. So thank you for sharing. I think anyone that's in college has had that. Yeah. So, and a lot. I wanted to share too is kind of share who I am a little bit. Actually, like growing up, one of the biggest things in my life was misplaced priorities. Like, I had Jesus in my life when I was 6 years old, and he never left me. And we'll go into that a little bit more later, but I definitely did have misplaced priorities, but he was still there, like, taking care of me, which was really awesome. And it's the same thing that happens to Peter and his relationship. So I'm going to read from a bunch of chapters in John. So you can feel free to follow along with me, but I have a different version than maybe some of you, so it might be... So I have John 13, verse 31, and so I'll be reading through it a lot till around 38. So, as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer." And if you don't know, this is Jesus talking to Peter and the disciples. As I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So, if any of you guys know where he's going, it might be the cross. I don't know. You can keep that in mind. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so right here, he's speaking to his disciples and giving them an option to prove their worth to him. So here's where Peter comes into the picture. Simon Peter asks, Lord, where are you going? Because he doesn't know what Jesus is talking about, right? So Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I'm ready to die for you. So here's what Jesus replies to him. Jesus answered, die for me, with a question mark. I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. Three times, that's what Jesus said. And this is, he's speaking right on his level to Peter. I know, firstly, this spoke to me a lot because we tell God our plans, and sometimes he laughs. Because at this point, Peter was following Jesus. He walked with him, ate with him, and he says he's ready to die for him. But Jesus told him, you will follow me later. This gives us an indication of how the Creator sees who we are, that he is not bound by time, that he sees us who we are at the current moment and who we will be in the future. And so that's kind of, has anyone ever heard the term mind blown? Yeah? Well, this is kind of a term that I like to, that God does a lot in my life at least, that he just blows my mind. Because our current perspective is where I'm at right now, but he can see who we become, and that's really awesome. So we observe time in different ways, right? So if God can see all of it, that he created time itself, then if you guys know, he's a carpenter, right? So if God has a hammer and a sledgehammer and what other carpenter tools are there? Saw? Okay. Well, he can have time as just another tool that he can use in his great plan. And sometimes we tell him our plan, and he's like, ha, I got my own plan, so we'll see about that. I know he's done that a lot in my life. So at the current time is where we go to Peter's perspective in John chapter 18. So I continue at John chapter 18, verse 15. And so what happens now is that Jesus is arrested, and he is brought to the high priest. And so I'm going to have one of my helpers come up and help me illustrate this. So, thank you. All right. And so, just so you guys know, he's a professional artist. seriously. So, you can use green or blue, whatever you want. But here's what's going to go down. So, we got Simon Peter. So, you can give him a little beard or something. So you can draw him in one corner and like put him here if you want. Give him a little top hat, you know, whatever you want. And then we need a gate in the center. So I'll let you get that. So as he's drawing that, I will start to read. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did the other disciples. The other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, which was John. So he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, you're not one of that man's disciples, are you? And guess what Peter says? No, he said, I am not. So would you mind in the corner or top corner writing a tally mark? So we're going to do three tallies. So Jesus said, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. So we got one already. Strike one. I don't know. Did Jesus like baseball? I don't know. Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it warming themselves, and Peter stood with them warming himself. So if you want to draw a fire on the right side with some homies over there, that'd be sweet. So meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire, warming himself, they asked him again, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" Guess what Peter says? "No." There you go. Yeah. "No, I'm not." He denied it. So you can write another tally mark up there. Sweet. Strike two. Okay. But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. So if you guys didn't know this, I didn't even know this till a week ago, and Maggie's like, Peter actually cut a guy's ear off. He was defending Jesus, and I thought that was pretty intense. I was like, dang. So a relative who knew the guy who got an ear cut off, he's like, "Didn't I see you out there with the olive grove with Jesus?" Because he saw it happen. He saw his face. But again, Peter denied it, and immediately after that guy said it, a rooster crowed. So, yeah. Thank you for helping. We have one more diagram after this. So, as you can see, God is definitely not bound by time. For some reason, I could imagine what was Peter going through as he heard the rooster crowed. I know I have had many instances where I had misplaced priorities, and like sometimes we know what to do, what the right thing is, but we choose the wrong instead over a fire. Because I can imagine, I don't know, I was cold yesterday. If you guys don't know, I work at a camp. That's where I'm interned at. And I'm working at a paintball course yesterday, and it's pouring down rain. I'm freezing. This was going through my mind that Peter chose this fire over Jesus. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, what priorities is all about. So I'm actually going to read some more from John chapter 21, and this is after Jesus raised from the dead. So you feel free to follow along. So I'll be reading from verse 1 through 19. So what we're going to do is, I don't know if you're ready for this, man, but we got some waves coming in. So we need to make a beach and some waves. Rock on. Thank you, man. Okay, after this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter and his crew of disciples, I'm just going to skip over their names for now because we're focusing on Peter. The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." So Peter's like, "I'm going fishing." So we continue on to verse 5. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw the net onto the right side of the boat and see what happens." At this point in time, all they see on the boat is a man on the shore telling them where to throw fish. They don't even know it's Jesus. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in the net that they were not strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciples that Jesus loved said, "It's the master." When Simon Peter realized that this was Jesus, he threw on his clothes and dove into the sea. The other disciples came by the boat and washed up to the shore. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. So this is interesting about the Bible. Sometimes it's very specific. So they had 153 big fish. I don't know, that's a lot of fish. Has anyone ever caught a fish before? Yeah? Does anyone like fishing? Okay. How many fish could you catch in like one day maybe? Or have you? Okay. Yeah. I've caught maybe, you know, like a little tiny one, but 153 big fish. And I can just imagine, that's a massive net. So they're hauling this in while Jesus is on the beach. And Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." So he takes their fish that they caught and starts cooking for them and having a meal with them. And keep in mind, this is after Peter denied him three times, and he knows this happened. So they get ready to have a meal together. They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus has shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. So this is the third time Jesus has shown himself. What's up with him in threes? I think he likes baseball. I'm just going to continue on this assumption. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I wonder if these are priorities. Maybe. "Yes, Master, you know I love you." See, he says, "You know I love you." He doesn't, it's not anymore like, "I'm ready to die for you." He just understands that he knows who he is. So Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." He then asked the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said for a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he asked for a third time, "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you have to stretch out your hands while someone dresses you for you." He said this to hint of the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. And then he commands, "Follow me." And if you turn back to the original verse in chapter 18, I think it was 18, yes. All right. So Jesus said, "You will follow me later." So I think that's pretty interesting about the three times. So how are we doing on the fire? That looks beautiful. Thank you so much. So I know personally for like a meal, there's something so intimate about having a meal with someone. If you guys know, we had like Brunswick stew with you guys, and that was really fun because we just enjoy eating food together, and there's something intimate about that. So even though Peter had misplaced priorities, he still took him in and sat down with him and ate with him and accepted him. So I think that's really applicable to almost everyone if they have misplaced priorities. So when God comes into our life, what does that mean for us? When God's love comes into our life, what does that mean for us? Because I know sometimes we... Does anyone have any misplaced priorities that they're trying to get over? I know, personally for me, I deal with, like, school and work and church. So, you know, where does God stand through all that? And so, I also know, like, sometimes we struggle with the idea of how do we know if we're accepted? How do we know if we're a part of God? So what really is the foundation for my life is Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to go to that real quick. So before we go to the ending verses, which is like the foundation for my life, that's how I know I'm saved. I'm going to go to chapters 9 and 8. So in chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "Even though we still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if you're alive and present in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ is alive. This resurrection life you received from God is not timid, grave-tending. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Dad?' attitude. God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are." So I just wonder, like, how does God touch our spirits? Has anyone ever felt touched by God ever in their life? Does anyone want to share maybe a time they were like, "Oh man, that's God. There is no doubt about it. That is God in their life." Does anyone want to share? Thanks for sharing. Yeah. So as you can see, like, you know, sometimes we have these moments where we feel like God is here, but then there's also sometimes where doubt comes in or fear comes in, and I've experienced that multiple times. God came in my life when I was 6 years old, but growing up, in high school, I had totally misplaced priorities with my relationships, with my jobs, and I didn't realize that, but once I read this chapter in my life, this is where kind of God spoke to me. And so at the ending of chapter 8 of Romans, if you guys feel free to check this out in your own time, but if you struggle with your faith or what is God's love, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is totally awesome. So here's the ending. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks that picked us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. So there, it is Paul is making it so clear that nothing in this world can separate us from God's love. And I'm reading from the Message version, which is a little bit different from on screen, but it's pointing to the same point. I like to have two versions going at once, so that way you can understand that they're all pointing to the right thing. That it's something that takes convincing, because I don't know about you, but isn't it in our culture where it's we have to earn something to get a gift in return? We have to work for something in order to get a paycheck, which is not a bad thing, but the way God works, it takes convincing that it's not something that we can earn, that because of his grace, that we do not deserve it, because of our misplaced priorities, because of our sinful nature, that even though we have all of these things, that his gift of grace overcomes all of that in our life. And that once it comes in our life, that there is nothing that can separate that. Not us, not our highs and lows of our week, not things that we think about or unthink about, what we're feeling, that it is a permanent change that happens in our life. I don't know about you, but that is good news to me. I don't know about you guys. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And I just want to keep in mind that if you guys have any misplaced priorities, that when God's love comes into our life, whether we like it or not, whether we think about it, he takes top priority in our life. That his love should be filled through all of our priorities in our life, no matter what. Even if we have doubt about, even if he exists, but he is still there in our lives, speaking through us. So if you guys could stand with me and pray, and we'll close out our service together. Dad, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for not giving up on us, even though we have these misguided and untrusting words to you. Help us to see that your love is forever. Help us to see that when you come in our lives, that there is nothing that can ever take that away from us. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. We love you. Amen.